Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes. We'll put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't
you? All your transgression, you receive the atomic bird to the ass!
Bird!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
Shazoo's the turtle! to fill the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Old King Shazoo's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table, waiting around for the round table there for some of my knights to call in out there. Hope everybody's doing well. It's a little chilly on my side of the planet, so I'm sitting underneath the blanket, got the little electric heater going on beside me and all that kind of jazz. So, where do we go to from here? I got an interesting article in front of me sent to me by Kent. It was talking about how, I'll just read the headline of it if I can get up there. Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, it's in Hebrew, in the Matthew biblical Garden of Eden. Anyway, everybody knows about the Garden of Eden. But it's talking about in here where there's the place where the Mormons believe that is in Jackson County, Missouri. They think that it's the original Garden of Eden. There it is. Jackson County, Missouri, North America. From Eden to Paradise. Anyway, I don't want to read this whole thing, but this particular church that they're talking about, I'm really familiar with because I used to live right down the road from this doggone thing. But I guess the thing that frustrated me about the whole deal down there was they spent about $2.5 million on a church where they turned around and bought out a whole bunch of houses, rental properties, and turn them into parking lots. To me, I think that if you got that kind of money, you should have spent that kind of money going around and helping the needy instead of running them out of their house. Anyway, let me see if I can get one of my knights on here real quick. Alrighty. Doggone it. All right, here we go. Calling up old Cultus here. See if I can get him on the line. Busy, eh? All right, well, I'm starting off with a real bang here. Doo-doo-doo. I tell you what, I'm going to throw on a quick song and get started off like that. I just went over and got my coffee, and so I'm not quite here yet.
table.
I love that whole King Shaziz the Terrible. That cracks me up, man.
All hail King Shaziz the Terrible.
Yeah, everybody who knows old Shaziz knows he's a terrible guy.
Hey, just the worst.
We were talking off air about that article about the Mormons believing that the place where they built that church is the original Garden of Eden. And I was telling you a little bit about that. I used to live in that particular church that they built. It cost $2.5 million. And they bought out a whole bunch of rental properties in the surrounding area so that they could build this massive parking lot, see? And, you know, so they basically forcefully relocated people, you know, because they bought their house right out from under them. I was saying that if you're going to spend that kind of money on a church, you know, build a modest church and then use the rest of that money to go out and, you know, help the poor. That's what it's all about, ain't it?
That is exactly what it's all about, mate. Yeah, charity starts at home, I say.
They've even got signs right on the edge of the whole entire complex that says that if you're on there, if you have tea or coffee or cigarettes on the property, that they'll have you arrested.
What?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, mate. That's it. That's it. I'm coming to America. I'm going to have myself a cuppa and a fag on their lawn.
I'll be right there with you, brother. I mean, I consider myself to be a Christian, but that don't seem very Christian to me to call the law on a person for having a coffee or a smoke, you know.
No, where's the tolerance and forgiveness?
But anyway, that you know, I'm not mocking these guys. I mean, they're free to believe the way that they want to believe. This just like I feel like every other religion is free to believe that they want. It's just this kind of touches a touchy subject on me because, you know, they got a spiral staircase in this church. You should see it. It looks like a really big upside down ice cream cone, and it's got a really big center, you know, and then it goes all the way up in a spiral staircase all the way to the ceiling. And they believe that in the last days, and Jesus is going to come down that stairway. Well, I lived in the general vicinity at the time, and my house had a staircase, and I was saying, you know, they spent all that money to build this really fancy church, and you should see it. It is really, it's neat looking. It looks like an upside-down ice cream cone, but it's all silvery color, you know. I'll have to find a picture of it. Google the Church of Latter-day Saints in Independence, Missouri, and you'll see the building. It's really interesting. But it's all shiny silver looking on the outside, and I was like, you know, they spent all that money on that church. What are they going to do if the last days get here and Jesus comes down my staircase instead, you know, in my old dumpy house? It's just, to me, man, some folks, they just got their priorities backwards as far as I'm concerned, because if you got that kind of money, you know, instead of
oh man, what is that monstrosity?
You see it?
Can you tell I just found a picture of it?
Don't it look like an ice cream cone? Looks like an upside down ice cream cone.
That is just that's worse than an upside down ice cream cone. Seriously, anyone listening to us now needs to go and Google search Church of Jesus, Church of Latter-day Saints in Missouri.
Yep.
This is one of the biggest eyesores I've ever laid eyes on. And I live in Australia. We pay some money for some crap art.
I bet you can. I bet you can see that thing from space, man.
Oh, just about, mate. If any of you know the Melbourne Art Centre, it kind of looks like a screwed up version of that. So yeah, pretty horrid.
Anyway, that building cost $2.5 million.
Far out.
Now, build a modest building. You know, if you're going to be there to help individuals out, build a modest building. And I'm not saying that these folks don't help people out, because, you know, Catholics help people out, the Baptists, and all the different denominations, and even the non-denominations, and the different people of non-religions. You know, there's people all over the world that do all kinds of charity work. But priority-wise, it kind of frustrated me when they first built that church. I was around when they first built it, and it just frustrated me because of the price tag on that thing and the fact that they moved all these houses out and everyone got eviction notice and told that they had to move, you know. And, you know, instead of doing that, you know, take that $2.5 million and go around and help fix up the community. Help some of those folks instead of evicting them out of their rental properties, you know.
It hardly seems like rocket science, does it?
Yeah. I mean, that's common sense to guys like you and I, but, you know, there's, when you talk about the upper echelon of any organization, that they always seem to think that they have a better plan than the average Joe, you know?
Yeah.
I find that to be frustrating. See, it's kind of a joke. I mean, King Shaziz the Terrible, you know. I mean, I rule with an iron fist in my kingdom.
And you have Ben's permission to say so too, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm king of the castle whenever she's not at home. Oh, that's funny. But anyway, this whole world, like I said, the elite, they just seem to got their priorities in a skew or something. It's all backwards as far as I'm concerned. You know, you got government agencies all over the world that want to be like nanny, you know. They want to be a big brother, and they got their eye on you. They're going to protect you, and they're going to regulate and write laws, ensure that you do what you're told so that you don't get hurt or you don't hurt somebody else. Where's the freedom in all that? That's what I want to know. You know, it kind of makes a mockery of America's whole theme, you know, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Because it takes that all the way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at this. We've got all these different wars that we've been through throughout history to fight for freedom, supposedly, around the world, and all the different skirmishes going on to supposedly spread democracy, which is a misnomer because the United States wasn't never built as a democracy. There's a difference between democracy and what the United States was actually built at. We are actually a representative republic, which means that we elect our representatives to go before the Senate and the Congress to represent us. So we are not, and never have been, in the entire history of the United States, a democracy. Democracy is essentially like mob rules. Every time they go around and they tell everybody, and they teach the children in school that we're a democracy. We're not. We elect our representatives to go before Congress to try to, as closely as they can, because there's other representatives from other states and stuff like that that they got a voice in there too, so whatever ends up being the best for the whole that everybody agrees on in the Senate or Congress is what becomes law. And that's not a democracy. Democracy means the majority of the people vote and you go with the majority of the people. And even our elections aren't democratic elections. We have representative republic elections, which essentially we elect a number of representatives by the number of people that live in your general vicinity determines on how many representatives that you have that go before Congress and the Senate and such. Yep. So when we go to vote, we're voting and the majority of the people speak and that's who gets us sent as a representative to the Senate or the Congress. But when it all comes down to it with the office of the president, they have what's known as the Electoral College, and the Electoral College will take whoever had the largest number of votes in each state will get that either a Democrat or a Republican or whichever party affiliate won that particular state will get a representative to go before the Electoral Congress and cast their vote. And so even if all the people vote, if every single person voted for one particular president, the Electoral College isn't required to vote the way that the people voted. You see what I'm saying? Yep. So there's a check and balance thing going on there. So that, you know, even with the president, you know, just because the majority of the people wanted that particular president don't mean they're necessarily going to get it. Now, 9 times out of 10, the Electoral College goes with the popular vote, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
So there's the difference. Okay. You know, we go around in all these countries and they talk on the mainstream media how we're spreading democracy throughout the land, you know, and democracy is mob rule, you know. So essentially if there's 99 people and 99 people don't like this one guy, well, they take him out back and beat him toothless. See the difference?
Yep, yep.
There's a big difference.
The size of it.
Anyway, it's kind of getting off the path there, but, you know, the elite of the country and the elite of all the countries of the world, they think they know what's best for everybody, and so they pass all these crazy rules and regulations. And then there's also the case that the money men at the top, it doesn't matter what's best for the people. It matters what's best for the man at the top. You know what I'm saying? So, swinging the money. Is it work that way in your general vicinity over there in Australia?
Of course it does, mate. It works the same all the way over the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's got some common denominator. We're all at the mercy of the money men of the world, you know. He who has the gold makes the rules, so to speak.
Yeah. Victor writes the history books, or in this case, the man with the most money is the one who gets to write the history books.
Yeah. Since I don't have no gold, I can't write the history books.
That's it, yeah.
If I wrote it, I'd be going around and ask the old folks, okay, what really happened back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to put in the school books.
Yeah, not all the manipulation that's going in your school books at the moment. I read there last week that they were trying to get the children to rewrite the Second Amendment.
Oh yeah, and that's a spark next to a gas can is what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Second Amendment is the out of all the amendments to the Constitution, in my opinion, is the most important one because of the simple fact that if the government ever got tyrannical, it is written in the Constitution that it is our duty to shed off that government and start off anew, you know.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't do that with pitchforks, sling shots, and pogo sticks.
No, exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know.
Even if your pogo stick has, what are they called? You know,
one ape hangers, or one of those little horns that little kids' bicycle, one of the little bells. That's what my pogo stick's gonna have: ape hangers, a bell, and one of them ooga horns. So when we go to throw off the government, I can hop around, ring ring ring, ooga.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's sort of the situation we face, though, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, but we got to get to the point where we realize that we got more power than we use. We the people don't even use the power that we got.
And we don't understand the amount of power that we have. We are the power. We decide what happens and what doesn't.
Yeah.
People don't seem to get that. That you wake up in the morning and you decide to pay taxes and keep that big ugly machine going.
Yep.
You and decide that.
And there's a thing called implied consent, which means that,
exactly.
For instance, let's say the government wants to sell a piece of land off or something like that. They run an ad in a newspaper, and they could run it in the smallest newspaper way out in the middle of BFE, Nowheresville, you know, Kentucky or whatever.
Yep.
And if nobody responds to that, they gave public notice, and if nobody responds to it, then they basically figure that everybody, you know, they were notified and they
everyone
consent.
Must be happy with it.
Yeah, so let's do it. Is that crazy or what?
That's insane. That's what it is, mate, but it's exactly the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just set up exactly in that manner so that they can come up behind you and just sting you like that.
Well, there's a certain society of people who go around buy houses from, like, whenever you don't pay your taxes and the government sells your house on the auction, and they're obligated to put a public notice out saying they paid the taxes and so on, and then you have so many days if nobody responds to it and pays you back the money of the taxes, then you own the property. And so they'll do just that. They'll put it in, you know, some city way the heck out of nowhere, you know, Nowheresville, Kentucky, like I said.
Yep.
And who's going to read that?
Exactly. You know? So and who's actually going to recognize anything of any importance if they did read it?
So, well, look at such and such just bought a house.
Who cares? It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Whoever. Turns out to be your house. Oh, man.
Grandpappy just lost his house because you didn't care enough.
So that means in order to be attentive to the whole situation, then you need to get somebody in every town and every local government and every local community or whatever to read every newspaper that comes out to make sure that nothing's getting snuck by you. There is no implied consent because, hey, wait a second, look what they did. They put it over here.
Yay.
And that's one of the things I like about alternative media is the fact that when these things are happening, people are bringing them to light. You know, they're pointing them out. You know, you can't get by with something if, let's say, you got 100 people following you around and you're trying to be sneaky. You know, you're trying to get by with something. And every time you try to do something, they got their finger pointing over there. Hey, look what he's doing now. See that? See that? You know?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get away with it.
That's what the whole importance of the alternative media is just the fact that, you know, keeping them on their toes, you know. They can't just...
ducking and hiding behind bushes, but you know they're behind there, and so does all your mates standing around pointing at them.
Yep. But it's like a game of chess, brother. I mean, they're literally playing a game of chess with the people and the nations of the world, you know.
Yep.
Seeing how much they can get by with incrementally, you know. I thought about this one time because it was driving me insane when they talked about the New World Order and the Illuminati and the Freemasons and all the different deal. I was like, okay, well, these guys are getting pretty old by now. You know, they've been around since the 1800s and their generations, and the guys who actually planted the seed of deceit way back then will never ever see it come to pass. You know,
that's right.
But,
and his great-grandchildren will probably screw it up for him long before he had any opportunity to.
Yeah. So they must really have a vision, and they must really have a lot of patience in order to try to create a one-world government, you know?
Yeah.
Because it takes years just incrementally putting things in place to give you more power each time, you know? You can't just rush right out and say, okay, suddenly I'm the dictator of America. You know what would happen if they did that, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to have a revolution with a bunch of bikers, rednecks, street gangs, nutcases, and wackos in the world.
Yep.
It'd be a free-for-all, man. I hope it never happens. I'm rooting for peace and love.
Yeah, same, mate, same. It's, you know, it's sort of a real interesting scenario at the moment as to what exactly is going on, you know.
Well, that's the golden question right at this point. What is going on? I mean, you see things over there in Australia that they haven't been able to pull on us just at this point, you know, like the carbon tax. You know?
Like taking your guns off you.
Yeah. So
that's like number one, mate. That always springs to mind.
Well, the guns thing is important. Albeit though, neither one of us are violent individuals. We don't want to go out and have no armed revolution, but we also want that safety net in case there's a tyrannical government running amok. You know, if they're coming door to door,
someone has to step in and fix that situation, mate.
Yeah,
I'll step up and help. I'll certainly stand up and help fix the situation.
If they're coming door to door, and they're going to attack your family. To me, if they come to attack my family, it doesn't matter to me what color uniform they got on. It doesn't matter to me what color badge they got on or what law that they're trying to go under or Patriot Act or anything. If they come to attack my family, I'm going to do exactly what the Constitution said. I'm going to defend my family.
Exactly.
And that's the average mindset of the average Joe out there. So with that said, you got to get the guns away, you know? Mm. Who wins, the guy with the AR-15 or the guy with the doggone pitchfork?
Yeah, there's no competition, is there?
Uh-uh, because the guy with the AR-15 don't even have to get close enough to hit you.
Not at little squeeze and he cuts you in half, mate.
Yeah. There lies the difference. You know, I wished, you know, I'm kind of like a closet utopian, so to speak, you know, because I want the world to be 100% in peace, you know, total utopia. Everybody gets along, everybody has food, everybody has medicine, everything, all their needs are provided for by one another, and everything, everyone, we all just live happily ever after kind of thing. But in the real world, you know, there's those who want power, and they don't want, you know, the utopia. They don't want everybody on an equal plane. And so with that said, we need that safety net, which is our firearms, to protect us against said tyrannical government. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're dead right, mate. And like, without that safeguard in place, if your country's disarmed, you can become slaves overnight. Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, worse than you already are, but You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, situation can go from a bad situation to an absolutely awful situation in an instant.
Yeah, and then you have the option to, you know, be stabbed as opposed to shot. Which one's worse?
Yeah.
You know, because if you go all the way back, let's take the Bible, for instance. Go all the way back in the Bible to Cain and Abel, you know, the story of Cain and Abel. He killed his brother with a rock.
Yeah.
So the first murder was with a rock. You know?
Had nothing to do with a gun.
No, wasn't no guns. So
didn't even throw the rock at him. He just hit him with it.
Yeah. So
it wasn't even a projectile.
Yeah, there you go. Wasn't even a projectile. He just hit him. And so, you know, mankind, the nature of mankind, greed or whatever, you know, if somebody wants to do somebody in, heck, they'll choke you out, you know, like one of the MMA fighters or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a little skinny guy and you're up against a 300-pound, muscle-bound guy who's getting ready to choke slam you to the dirt, you know, and the only thing you got is a pistol, what are you going to do?
That's it, mate.
You know, that's this world we live in. It's unfortunate, you know. Like I said, I would love to have a heaven on earth. I'd love to have a utopia, but common sense dictates from past history that if you don't have something to guard your house, then your house is free for the taking.
Exactly.
And look at all the Road Warrior movies, you know. Who wins in the Road Warrior movies?
Yeah.
The guys with the best tools.
Yeah.
So, sometimes the price for freedom is making sure that you have some way to defend your family. You know? It's sad. I don't wish death on anybody. I mean, I think that every time we lose a living soul, you know, we cheat humanity out of the next possible perfect cure for whatever, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree anymore, mate. Like,
you know, they,
the mind just boggles, mate. The mind just boggles, and this always happens to me. This, you know.
Well, yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about, brother, because I went through that just yesterday, the other night. I started thinking about life and the whole thing, you know, and some days you get to the point where, you know, what's the point? Why even get up and come in here and do the Knights of the Round Table? Why do it, you know? What am I accomplishing? I think what I'm accomplishing is I'm throwing a positive pebble out there. This podcast will be up there for years and years and maybe decades, you know, and people will stumble onto it, and, you know, maybe it'll be outlawed at one point, you know, and if you get caught with the Knights of the Round Table podcast, you're executed on the spot, you know, because here's a couple guys, one from Australia and one from America, talking freedom. We can't have that, you know. What do you think?
Great story, Shazies.
Ain't no freedom of speech, so don't you listen to that Knights of the Round Table.
I love it, man. He'll be executed for being caught with an MP3 of the Knights, you know, in 20 years' time.
Well, if you look at it, that's the path we're going down.
It's the direction we're headed in. That made me laugh so hard, but it's so true.
It is.
That is, you know, it's something out of a, you know, futuristic movie or something.
Like Orson Welles, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but it's exactly, you know, the scenario that we're looking down on, you know what I mean?
I mean,
look, it
happened. You don't have it to... go ahead.
Sorry. Never mind.
You don't have to. You don't have to be a super genius to realize that if you're in a busload of people, a bus full of people, and you're heading off the cliff, there's a point by which you need to start applying the brakes, and there's a point by which it is too late to push the brakes. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we're almost to that point. We're almost to the point where it's too late to push the brakes.
Yeah, it's definitely time to push that past our bus driver out of the way and hit the brakes.
Yeah, throw that bum to the back and have the people in the back give him a good old-fashioned,
like CPR.
Yeah, there you go. Something friendly. Trip behind the woodshed, you know, like the old days. Say, are you crazy? You're trying to kill us all.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to start putting that seed in the minds of the young people of the world that, you know, freedom is important. You know, if you don't have freedom, then whatever the government says, that's what goes. If they say, like over in China, you can only have a certain number of kids. And you can't have girls. You have to have boys. You have to have, you know, it's all limited. What on earth gave these guys the authority to tell any mother or father that you have to have only a certain number of children, and if there's too many girls, you got to get rid of the girls. Doesn't that sound to you like?
It sounds disgraceful.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
It's sickening. It churns the stomach. And to think that there would actually be family members out there who would actually comply with that.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we got a girl. We got to get rid of her. What are they going to do with her?
Yeah, you don't even want to think, hey. Like,
it's just terrible, man.
Yeah.
But there's a prime example. You can look around. You can look over to the old Soviet Union. You can look over to communist China, or you can look to communist North Korea, and you can see examples of what a total dictatorship looks like, you know? I mean, over there in North Korea, they have a state-run media, and boy, the people get the story. The government loves you, and they're going to take care of you, but then the facts are different, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I seen a long time ago that stood out in my mind was the... remember the tank guy from over there in China? The one man standing out in front of all these army tanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of spirit that can make a difference, you know? I'm not saying rush out in the street and stand in front of an army tank, because to me that don't seem very safe looking down one of those 6-inch barrels or something.
I wouldn't be standing between one, that's for sure.
Because the way the modern day mentality of the soldiers behind that could be to the, hey, look, there's a guy out there, let's pop him, you know?
Yeah.
That's just crazy, man. You know, but this isn't a scare tactic. It's history, man. You can see it. It was throughout entire history, governments have run amok. And right now...
they're going to again.
Yeah. Right now, I believe they are literally running amok. I mean...
They're having their last stand, mate. I mean, they know as good as we do. Either they suppress us for their final effort, and they manage to, you know, get us back in our boxes. Or, just clutching onto old hopes, mate. Just, you know, biding their time until it all falls apart for them.
Oh, you said something that just gave me a visual. Do you ever, have you ever had a litter of kittens around your house?
No.
Well, if you ever see a video or something on a litter of kittens, when they're first born and they're real young and everything, I'm going to add Michael to the call here.
When
they're young and they're first born, you can keep them in that box, you know. But after a certain age, once one of those kittens tastes freedom, once one of those kittens climbs outside that box and sees that there's more outside that box, they're all out that box. And so you can try as hard as you want to keep putting them back in that box. You know, you can swat them on the butt and put them in that box, and they'll climb back out. They're persistent little characters.
Yeah.
And that's what I see going on with modern day society, is that people have stepped outside the box, even some of them only briefly, long enough to look out and say, hey, wait, there is something besides what the government said.
Yeah.
How you doing, Michael?
Doing good, Shaziz. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. What do you think of this conversation we're having?
I'm liking what you're saying. I was listening to what you were saying about the Second Amendment, and I think it's great. There's a great story I want to put inside the chat box. This is only a few days old, 6 days old. Arizona mass shooting is thwarted by a concealed carrier who shoots the man that was armed with a rifle at a party. So I think you guys would appreciate this story. These are the kind of stories that you never hear about in the mainstream media. But, you know, it's just a great story of heroism by an individual gun owner that it saves the day and saves the lives of the people that were there.
So that's a prime example.
You guys like that one. Mm-hmm.
That's a prime example.
It's the third article there down on the list. The other two articles I think you guys would be interested in as well. Now, one of them is a couple months old, but it ties in very nicely it's a little bit more than a month old. And it ties in very nicely with an article that was just released this past week. Easy Pass is a device that you put into your car that allows you to go through highways in this country. But if you read this article, it's not just the toll booths that are able to read where you are. And basically, you're being tracked in more than one place, not just toll booths, but other companies that have this technology are actually able to track you as you move throughout the city or wherever you're going. Now, it's also interesting to note that this other article that I have here, Oregon, and this is October 21st, Oregon launching new program to tax drivers per mile. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Now, how would they go about doing this? I think it'll be very easy to do it if folks have this Easy Pass technology already in their cars.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Which is accessible.
Well, I'd like to get into what you're talking about. I want to put one more note out there on that other subject right there, because you said something that about mainstream media not reporting the good stories along with bad stories or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things that boggles my mind about the mainstream media is these are people out there, you know. Now, granted, they probably live in really nice houses in really nice neighborhoods and are pretty much sheltered away from all the things that maybe you and I might be closer to, you know, when we're walking down our street. We got to keep an eye out and make sure we don't get mugged or such or whatever. Maybe they live in sort of a bubble, but what I don't understand is why that these individuals wouldn't want to report things on both sides of the story, because this affects them too, you know. This affects their children. This affects the freedom of their future. And so if all the guns are taken away, now their nice new neighborhood is unsecure because nobody in that neighborhood's got a gun. Nobody can defend their family. If a criminal, and we know by definition they're criminals because that's what criminal means, they're gonna keep their guns.
We have seen a constant drumbeat of anti-gun stories, Shaziz,
yep,
on mainstream media. You see it in mainstream media. You see it in education in schools, how they treat little kids that have. Imagine a little kid making a paper gun,
yep,
or folding a piece of paper into the shape of a gun and being expelled. These kinds of stories are just absurd.
Oh, yeah, or calling the cops on the one that made the doggone gun a shape out of bread.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. It's just absurd. It's totally absurd.
Yeah.
So
Who honestly does that, though? Who goes to the extent of reporting a child for making a piece of bread shaped into a gun?
Well, believe it or not, the teachers in these school districts nowadays, majority of them are liberal teachers, and they love the government funding. And, you know...
But doesn't it really take a special kind of stupid to report someone for bread?
Oh, I agree. If I was the lawman and I was called to a school because of a possible gun at the school, and I got there and it was a little kindergarten guy, a little kid with a gun-shaped bread, you know what? I would
rub
tell
the
that teacher
over the back of the head, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I probably
would rub your knuckles over the back of the head.
I'd pepper spray the teacher, man.
If you have a bread gun or you draw a gun on a piece of paper with a crayon, well, automatically we have to go into red alert and shut down the school.
Yeah, for a piece of bread.
Expel the kid, call the cops, arrest him. This
send
is the kind of...
send the bomb squatting robot to blow up his picture.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the kind of total... There's just no proportion to what this young child did. A child did.
Yeah.
And how the mainstream media reacted and how the school reacted, the education system. It's just what you're looking at right here is a concentrated effort on the part of the power elite that control the power centers of this country and other countries in the world to do away with guns altogether. And why? Because they will have to contend with those that possess firearms in the future. They know this. They need to disarm the general population. And they're constantly feeding stories out there, these kinds of stories, to get people to vilify guns and gun owners and to foment and sow seeds of you know, rejection of any kind of gun ownership.
Yeah.
And this is something that they've been trying for a very long time, by some miracle, unsuccessfully. But if you go to, there's a story right now, if you go to the official United States, I think it's the United States Congress or the United States Senate homepage, you'll see them actually question our Second Amendment right. It's just, it's unbelievable. You listen to
which
that
is in violation of the Constitution. They're not even supposed to question the any of the rights.
That's right. They're not. In accordance with the Second Amendment, you know...
It's clearly states, plain and simple, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Infringed.
Doesn't say if and or you have the right to question. It just says not.
Yeah.
But one of the things that goes along with what you're talking about, what you were talking about earlier about being tracked and all that kind of stuff, and sure, all this stuff that's going on with the guns, is the striking similarity between the local schools and the local prisons. There was a documentary done some time back, and I hadn't had an opportunity to find a link to it, but if anybody can, that'd be great. But there was a documentary where they literally took people through a prison, and then they took them through a school, and they asked them, which one would you say, would this be school or prison? And then they did the same thing with the school. Which one would you say, would this be school or prison? And the majority of them were picking the schools out as the prison. I mean, they're locked down. They are. They got cameras in the hallways, and some schools have metal detectors at the front door. My local school, right up the street now, you gotta push the button to buzz in order to get in there. So they've instilled a bit of fear into all the teachers and all the kids, and saying, "Okay, we're going to protect you. We're going to lock this thing down. People will have your mommy, your daddy will have to buzz in." What happens the day that one of the principals or one of the teachers declares you to be a danger to your own child, and you can't get in?
There you go.
You have no voice.
That's the one. Well, it's, you know, with the way that the with the way in which this illusion, this corporate control of our lives, with the way it is, they are the ones that are in possession of our own children. You know, it's like it stems back to our birth certificate. When we get that, it's almost like we're part of this. We're almost incorporated into this system.
Well,
from the moment of our birth.
And the scary thing about all this is the fact that our generation and your generation right now, you know, you're a little bit younger than I am. I'm a little bit older, whatever. We've been down. We've actually seen what freedom looks like to some extent. Minus all the crazy that we've had to deal with. But we remember these kids coming up now, they're being taught a different history. They're being taught, by the time their kids grow up, they won't even know freedom. What was freedom, you know? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, they're trying to...
What's that word,
they're trying to erode on a daily basis, people's understanding and people's comprehension of what freedom is.
Yep.
And that's... what they're trying to do.
Cultus hit on a good one earlier. He was talking about how there were schools that were telling the kids, pick out a couple deals in the Constitution and the ones that you think need to be rewritten and stuff.
Yeah. This is something that's kind of spooky, but I think right now there's a lot of talk about this amending of the Constitution. Are you aware of this, Shaziz?
Yeah, they've been trying like heck to do all kinds of stuff.
There's a fellow by the name of Mark Levin, and he wrote a book called The Liberty Amendments. Doesn't that sound lovely? Liberty Amendments. You listen to that word and you're just like, geez, isn't that great? Sounds awfully similar to Patriot Act,
Yeah.
It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But anyway, in this book, he details several proposed amendments, all of which are fine, okay? All of which are fine. The problem here is that when you do what he's advocating, which is to have another constitutional convention, you have no control over the representatives that will be sent by each of the states. So each of the states is like an individual country, and they send their representatives to this constitutional convention to agree upon the proposed amendments.
But
now here's the danger. The danger is that because we have no control over those individual state representatives that are going to be there, how easy would it be for the power elite to just buy them off?
Here's
$10 million. Do what we tell you to do.
But I got
to
take...
You'll never have to worry about working another day in your life.
I got to take...
Who's not, Yeah.
I got to take exception with you, Michael.
Sure.
What's wrong with you, brother? I'm shocked. You can always trust your government.
Exactly. And here's the... exactly, Shaziz. And here's the ridiculous thing, too. To suggest that passing another amendment is going to wrangle the people that are already violating the Constitution. This is what makes no sense at all. If they're already wiping their feet on this document, they're already ignoring this document, and they want to do away with this document, how on earth is passing another amendment to a document they already want to do away with, how is that going to change? It's not going to change them at all. It will not change them.
Well, I would suggest that there could be one and only one amendment to the Constitution, and I believe it would be the most powerful amendment to the Constitution, which would clearly state that if you violate your oath of office and you even so much as speak against changing the Constitution, then you'd go to jail. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. You know the whole story.
Sure. Here's another kind of spooky thing too. That's the one thing about this this constitutional convention that we're not being told, and this is the real danger, is that they will have the ability to do away with what's written there presently.
Yeah.
So let's say that we have our representatives there, and they're our representatives, they're our state representatives, and they're going to vote, okay, on, let's say they wanted to vote on doing away with the present Bill of Rights, and say, all right, now we're going to get rid of these Bill of Rights, and we're going to give you a new Bill of Rights. And guess what? The Second Amendment is not there. Neither is the First. So they just get rid of them altogether. This is, if you remember from your history, 1787, when this America had the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Right at that time, we were living under what was known as the Articles of Confederation. And there was signatories of the Declaration of Independence, like Patrick Henry and Samuel Adams. These guys refused to go. Patrick Henry was quoted as saying, "I smell a rat." He knew that the Articles of Confederation were going to be removed and done away with at the Constitutional Convention. And he was right. Okay? And so when you have these alleged conservatives like Mark Levin and others, like Sean Hannity and the Fox News gang, advocating a constitutional convention, my friend, it's dangerous. And they're going to, if they want to get it done, it's going to get done. When you have alternative media talking about this too, there was a guy on Steve Roberts' show on MSI Radio. His name was John D. Herrera. This guy is supposed to be, you know, like us, coming out in favor of this. Well, we suspect, perhaps, that this guy might be a member of some kind of secret society, like the Rosicrucians or the Masons. Because James Swagger exposed this guy. You can go to the YouTube video and watch it. It's really a masterpiece of logic that James uses to trap this guy. And I think he catches him. But again, that's just my opinion. I can't prove it. But here you have someone from the alternative media coming out in favor of this thing. So I just look at it and I'm just like, wait a second. Have we all gone mad? Have we lost our minds? Do you realize the dangers from a historical perspective? And just anyone that is able to use right reason can see that as soon as you open up a constitutional convention, that you run the risk of having them, having the elites that have unbelievable amounts of control, corrupt the representatives and vote in whatever they want to be their puppets in this constitutional convention. How easy it would be to get rid of the present existing Bill of Rights, chizzes and cultists?
Here's something to back up what you just said and something to really factor in when talking about the possibility of a constitutional convention. Mm-hmm. I'll say these words and I know you're going to know exactly who said it. We got to pass this bill to find out what's in it.
Yeah. That's right. It's the most ridiculous thing. But see, here's the thing. They have so dumbed down generation upon generation of people in the dismal failure of our education system that there are people out there that will actually listen to that without any critical microscope and just accept it.
Yeah.
And they won't even look at it. They won't even think about, what did that person just say? And oh my, they don't even think about these things. They just say, oh, okay.
Chop that up, Michael. I want to hear your point on this. Chop that up, what she said. Nancy Pelosi said, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. What do you find wrong with that?
Okay, what's wrong with that? Well, first off, several things. One, the responsibility, the duty of every member of the House and Senate is to read the legislation that's been proposed in a bill on the floor. They need to have read the document, they need to have comprehended the document, and then they need to understand and also be in touch with the people that they're supposed to be serving and their wishes on the matter of the properly understood and properly comprehended piece of proposed legislation. So you know, for Nancy Pelosi to make the ridiculous comment, we have to pass it in order to know what's in it, is the most absurd, ridiculous, nonsensical, incoherent. Oh God, I can't think of another adjective. How ridiculous it is!
There's one more good one.
Go ahead.
Catherine Sebelius here recently just said that the people that are complaining about the website aren't the people she's working for.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Did you hear that one?
That is wonderful. And that, my friend, really does illustrate and demonstrate and concretize exactly what these people are all about. They're not our servants. They're puppets.
Yep.
They're puppets of the power elite.
And so
I'll leave it up to you to figure out who the power elite is. It doesn't matter.
So
we're not it.
Yeah.
We ought to be it. We really do have the power. If we would only wake up, we are the sleeping giant, like that great picture that you have at the bottom of the Knights of the Round Table room. You have this guy, and he's like being strapped down and held down with all these ropes.
Yeah, and you can click on that picture for the larger photo. So thanks for that picture.
Yeah. All he has to do is stand up, you know, and assume what he or be what he is, you know, accept what he is, the power that he is. And that doesn't mean to do anything violent. There's no need for violence. There's no need for anything like that. You can peaceably do what we saw done just a few weeks ago, where you had the veterans marching in Washington, D.C. Do you remember that, Shazish?
Yep, they tried to lock down the memorial, and they moved the doggone barricades, and they said, no, this is ours. That we're, you know, money or not, we are going to see our memorial.
Think about this, Shazish. The American people paid for the World War II memorial, the Korean memorial, the Vietnam memorial, all those, the whole... all of the beautiful things that we had there in Washington, D.C. on the Mall, all those things were bought and paid for by the American people. And to suggest that because we're having trouble with a budget, or we're having trouble with, this bullcrap government shutdown would prohibit people from viewing their own memorial, is the most ludicrous thing that you can possibly imagine. And so, I mean, you want to talk about heroes? These guys went, and they just kindly moved the barricades away, and they very carefully picked them up, and they walked them and placed them neatly in a stack in front of the White House as a testament to the ridiculous, even putting those things up. And it was obvious what was happening. It was you had, someone trying to make people unhappy and trying to bring to people's attention that the government was shut down and make people's lives as uncomfortable as possible. Well, it's just a beautiful thing that a very courageous group of Americans said, you know what, we're not going to stand for this. We're going to take matters into our own hands in a very respectful, in a respectful and calm way, and that's what they did. They in a beautiful act of civil disobedience that Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi probably both would have been in favor of. They just picked up the barricades and they moved them and they put them in front of the White House, and that was it.
And
no shooting. No. No, nothing. No, violent chance. Just move the barricades.
That needs to be continued. That needs to continuously be done. But
that's the spirit. That's the spirit that we're talking about with this: the rousing the sleeping giant. You know, to get up and stand up for yourself, and don't accept this restraint to your freedoms.
And here's
the crazy thing too, Shazis. Think about this. They had enough money to pay for people to put up the damn barricades in the first place, and the security that would enforce those barricades, but they don't have the money to allow the barricades to be opened. Do you know how contradictory that is? Oh, we have money to pay for people not to let you see it, but we don't have money there to allow people to see it. You know how ridiculous that is?
Well, first thing, two things here. One is when the Democrats, which I believe the Democrats and Republican are working for the same team, and it's not the American people. But
so same point.
When they were in charge of the Congress, they Congress is by law supposed to put out a budget every so often.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. For over 4 years, they didn't do it. And they waited till when the Republicans were in the House, and now the Republicans are the bad guys because they can't get a budget out, and this and that. And every time they try to pass a budget, it gets rejected anyway. And of course, we know that's just like a dog and pony show to keep everybody, oh, look, the Democrats and the Republicans are fighting again, all this kind of stuff, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, they had to have known back then the circumstances, they had to know what was coming down the road if they didn't pass that budget, you know. So all this stuff was mapped out just for a show for everybody out here in the general public while they incrementally deteriorate the Constitution. And the second point that I wanted to make was that those officers who would be charged with the duty of enforcing the barricades around there, they took an oath of office as well. And they would be in the violation of their oath of offices by not protecting those folks right. You understand what I'm saying?
I certainly do.
And so, by definition, the law enforcement guys should be held accountable as well if they were to enforce, you know, that law saying, or that whatever you want to call it, saying that these folks couldn't go up to that memorial.
Yeah, it's just, how, you know, so... the last time I checked, we the people, you know, are the masters of the government, okay? And if we the people, the masters of the government, want to visit our own memorial, then for God's sakes, why wouldn't you let us do it?
That's already paid for.
And what you're saying is those people that are there that have sworn an oath, they have to be held to those oaths that they have made to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if they don't, they're in violation of their own oath, and therefore their authority is gone at one and the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
So,
but so, the key is for the average Joe out there to start getting it sunk through their head. When these folks out there... they hear, you know, anti-gun legislation. The anti-gun loving crew out there, they're not stepping back and look at the big picture. They're visualizing a utopia that could come about by nobody in the world ever having guns, nobody having nuclear bombs, nobody having any weapons of any kind. And so if nobody's got any weapons, nobody's going to get hurt. But I told Cultus earlier about a story in the Bible about Cain and Abel. Do you remember Cain and Abel?
I sure do. Go ahead, tell it.
Well, you know, Cain killed his brother. Cain killed Abel with a rock. Remember that?
Yep. Yes, sure.
Okay, there weren't no guns.
All rocks.
Yeah, there weren't no guns around. The first murder was by rock. You know, and so with that said, we're going to outlaw rocks. You're going to have to outlaw pencils because those things are sharp. You might poke somebody's eye out. You'd probably kill somebody with a pencil. We got to get rid of those. Anything that looks like a knife, if it's shaped like a gun, you know, you got to get rid of it. Anything that could possibly scare, you know, somebody, you got to get rid of it. You just can't have it, you know.
Think about this story too, and this ties in very nicely to what you're saying. Imagine this. Imagine a guy in Washington D.C., a D.C. businessman. He faces 2 years in jail for, end quotes, unregistered ammunition brass casing. Imagine this. This guy has, from what I understand, he had he and his wife were divorced, and I think the wife trying to hurt her former husband contacted police, and said that this fella possessed illegal firearms inside Washington, D.C., inside the District of Columbia, okay? And so they had a search warrant. They went to his home. They raided his house looking for guns. Now, this fella never had a firearm in the city, but he's being prosecuted to the full extent of the law because somebody found ammunition. That was spent ammunition, just a shell casing. It wasn't even ammunition. You know how ridiculous that is? How crazy? Yeah. So because he had spent shell casings that are completely inert and couldn't hurt anyone, I mean, I don't even think, like, if you threw one at somebody, it would even hurt you. It's a small little piece of brass, you know? I mean, I don't know what you could use them for to hurt any single person, but here, this, once again, here's a story that's put out there to try and scare the stuffing out.
You could take that spent ammunition, jump on a pogo stick with ape hangers and a little horn and a bell, ring, 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 yeah. And you could throw it with slingshots at people, you know? It could be dangerous. You might put an eye out or something.
Yeah, I just dropped the story in for everybody to see. Exactly, you know, put an eye out, right? But I just put it in. It's from the Washington Times. That's a pretty reputable source. And there's the story for you if you want to take a look at it. But it just goes to show you the extreme, you know, this what they're trying to do and how they're trying to vilify anybody that that has anything to do with guns or firearms or ammunition or anything else. So
I want to see somebody write a book, and I would write it myself, but I don't like to type, and I have a lot of typos. But I want to see somebody write a book that says, "When Utopia Goes Awry."
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what's going to happen once they get their utopia and everybody's disarmed and the government decides, well, hey, I don't like what you said. Wait a second. I think you're thinking you might want to do something bad, so we're going to have to, it's a thought crime now. We're going to have to throw you in jail for thinking. Because, you know, they did run a documentary on the Science Channel one day about future crimes that you could read somebody's mind and
see. Pre-crime.
Pre-crime. There you go. So, you're going to get jailed for something you might be thinking about.
Oh, man.
Isn't that, you know...
Do you know what? We're all going to jail, mate. Every last one of us.
Yeah. Hey, Colt is telling about what's going to happen to the Knights of the Roundtable MP3s in 20 years.
Oh, yeah. She's had the thought before that we're going to... that it's going to become illegal to even own a MP3 of the Knights of the Roundtable, and people will be shot on sight for possessing, you know.
Yeah, I thought you were going to use it in evidence against us in the.
They might do that too.
The FEMA camp kangaroo court. Kangaroo court, sorry.
That's the one.
But are we not going down that path that one day the Knights of the Roundtable MP3s will be deemed to be terrorist audio and you can't listen to it? If you get caught with it, you're executed?
I certainly think so.
I mean, it sounds...
Anybody that stands opposed to the wishes of the power elite and what their goals and plans are and their protocols are, well, you're an enemy.
Here we got three guys.
Gone away with, silenced, you know, put locked away in some room and throw the room away. Put you in a room, lock up the room, and throw away the room. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, we got two guys from different parts of the U.S., and we got one guy from Australia, and they're talking freedom, and we can't have that, you know? We can't do that.
Heaven forbid, you know?
But doggone it, Cultus, you gotta know.
Fire or something.
You can always trust your government.
I can. I've told this before. I can always trust my government to screw me over every time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All the faith in the world of that.
Oh man. So you know, now we get back.
What do they say? If you're not on your government's watch list by now, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, you're not doing your job. So,
yeah,
we got to give a shout out to the NSA and the TSA and FBI and the CIA. Hey, how you guys doing? Peace and love to you. And you know, it's just, to me, it's all ludicrous, man. Common sense went out the window. I mean, common sense went out the day brass knuckles and the pogo stick were invented, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, did you notice the Truth Seeker 22 wrote something inside the chat box there, Shaziz?
Oh, no, I missed it. What's it say?
He says, we all need to be peaceful warriors.
I agree.
Struggle for our freedom.
I agree.
Hear, Truth.
Very true.
Truth Seeker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, we're not advocating going out there, blowing up the government or anything like that. We're talking about, using the power while you have the power. Right now, you got the power of the spoken word and the power of your actions, the power of the pen. You can actually get things accomplished. I've gotten things accomplished by letters that I've written to representatives in my life. It is doable. Not all the representatives are even going to pay attention, but you don't stop at one letter. If they don't pay attention to the first one, you write another one. And then if they don't pay attention to any of those, you write one to the media. You write one to the alternative media. You pass the flyers out. You make sure that guy's on the hot seat. I'm looking for answers to a question that I asked my representative. He's there to supposedly represent me. Why am I not getting an answer? You see where I'm coming from? Don't everybody jump at once.
Indeed I do, she says.
It is possible. But, if you sit on your hands and you wait around for all these things to be enacted, such as, ask cultists how easy he thinks it would be for them to get back their gun rights over there in Australia now that they've lost them. What do you think, cultists?
Oh, but I'm getting them back.
It ain't happening.
Once it's lost, never to return.
That is, that's the bottom line. Any Australian sitting back thinking, we can just lobby the government, you're an idiot. We lost our firearms the day yous all went and decided to hand them in before I was old enough to be a part of anything to do with it, so you all can't blame me. But I'll tell you what, my old man wouldn't let go of his firearms, and unfortunately they would be handed in by now because of my mum. But my old man hung on to all his firearms, would not let any of them go, and could have got himself in a bit of strife over it, but he had the guts to do the right thing. And one idiot goes nuts and shoots a bunch of people doesn't mean the whole country has to suffer.
Doesn't mean
the bulk of people have to suffer.
Then again, there's a question. There is still a question out there because of the modern-day technology with blue screen and green screen. Some of these events, I have to even question whether they even occurred.
They existed.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I certainly do. And a lot of times, how many things have happened in the last 2 years in this country, Shaziz, where you really scratch your head and say, that just doesn't seem right. Your radar goes up and you're like, Sandy Hook, Boston Marathon bombing, Aurora movie theater shooting, all these things you look at and you're just like, did that really happen? Did someone actually get hurt? Or was it some kind of elaborate fabrication?
Cultists?
Cultists.
Yeah, man.
Do you guys got mandatory car insurance in your neighborhood?
We have mandatory third party insurance. So basically, on with our registration, we pay a levy for insurance that if we write someone else's car off, we're left high and dry, but the government foots the bill for their car.
Oh, well, that's nice of the government.
Basically, yeah.
Over here, we got mandatory car insurance, and so the reason why they say we need mandatory car insurance is just in case we get in an accident. And so before they had mandatory car insurance, they had voluntary insurance. You go out and you want to be covered for any possibility, such as maybe you get in a car crash or your house burns down or flood or fire, whatever. You went out and bought insurance for just such an emergency. And preppers, the doomsday preppers, they go out and they store up food and they store up ammunition for the possibility of apocalypse or government gone awry or whatever. But all these things that I'm talking about, all these insurance, are agreed upon on both sides of the aisle, saying, you know, you need insurance, health insurance. Well, you know, we got a big debacle going on with that, going about health insurance, mandatory health insurance, and so on, so forth. It all sounds good on the deal, but when it comes down to anything like insurance against the possibility of a government gone crazy, now insurance isn't a good idea. No.
No one wants to talk to you about that, do they?
Yeah. And what Mike, Michael, what would be the answer to, what is the insurance for a government gone awry?
Why is it, or why?
What would it be? What insurance? Are we going to get a financial thing that if the government goes awry, the government has to pay us some money?
Man, the whole thing is just anything that has to do with putting your... Okay, let me put it this way. I am someone that believes that you should, you know, live your life with as little intrusion from government as humanly possible. I'm one that, I don't want any ties. I don't want any kind of, look, the less control you have over my life, the better. That's how I look at it. So when I look at this healthcare thing, I say to myself, well, I do see that certain individuals that don't have healthcare, I can understand that, you know, people that are, you know, poor or whatever. Yeah, there are cases. Let's say somebody that's a quadriplegic or somebody like that, you know, where there has to be some kind of safety net for someone that isn't really capable of caring for themselves, and we do this because of the dignity of the human person.
There is, but there already is. It's called charity.
That's exactly right, she says, and that's just where I was going. This is something that we as human beings, as virtuous, moral human beings, are looking to help other people. This is why we're here. We're made to love one another. And so when, you know, we need to try and care for one another. This is what this is why we're here. This is what the purpose of our life is. One of them. And so when you hear about this healthcare thing, and you know, I look at it and think this is just another power grab on the part of the government to get into our personal lives, tell us what we can eat, tell us what we can buy, you know, observe our habits and the surrendering of private medical information. You know, I look at it as another wearing away of human liberty and freedom. And you know, if this thing, first off, it's already there, and it's a colossal disaster. It's a failure as far as I'm concerned. Very few people are actually signing up for this this terrible thing. But you know, the United States medical the United States medical care is among, if not the best medical care in the world. And to suggest that the way in which we had it now, or the way in which it was before, was going to be you know, some kind of horrible financial drain on our country, and it was going to, you know, destroy our economy, and all of this doom and gloom that they were saying was going to happen if we didn't pass some kind of, you know, healthcare reform, is ridiculous. If you had something wrong with you in the old system, if you had something wrong with you, the hospital would never turn you away for lack of payment. They just never would. They would never turn anybody away.
Nope.
If you're bleeding to death or something like that, they're going to bring you in. They don't give a rat's behind about if you have health insurance or not, because you're a human being and you have dignity and you have to be treated with respect and charity. And that's the reason why they would take care of you and tend your wounds and make sure that you were okay. They wouldn't just close the doors to you and say that you couldn't get in there. But with this, you know, healthcare thing, it forces people to buy something they might not need to buy. If you have, you know, an 18-year-old, 20-year-old person that is in the fit as a fiddle, you know, and that person chooses not to purchase health insurance for whatever reason, maybe they're going to school and they just can't afford it or whatever, you know, they're now going to have to be penalized and fined if they don't have some kind of health insurance coverage in accordance with the law. So the whole thing is a real big mess. I mean, we could talk about it for another half an hour, I'm sure.
One of the things that's running through my head is, as we're sitting here talking about all this stuff, you know, and it was sparked off by gun legislation and the lack of common sense. You know, we're all peace lovers, all of us, and we're from three points of the globe, essentially. But how are you going to disarm the armies of the world? How are you going to disarm the terrorists of the world? How are you going to disarm the criminals of the world? And so while the utopians of the world, and I'm a closet utopian because I'd love to see peace and love all over the world. I would love to have a day when everyone took care of each other and nobody, there was no violence of any kind. But we're not to that point yet. And so right at this point in time, the only insurance that we got against a tyrannical government or invasion of some terrorist force from another nation or whatever is our firearms, you know. And it would, you know, I did two videos out there, Time You Should Know Part 1 and Part 2, and it talked about the police being there, not being there to protect you, because that's what they actually tell you in the academy, is that you're actually not there to protect them, you're there to enforce the law. It's not your job to protect them. Of course, right on the side of the police car, it says to serve and protect. And you take the oath.
That's where it ends.
Yeah.
But that's where it ends, doesn't it? It's to serve and protect. It doesn't ever state who. It's the same here in Australia.
And so with that said, especially if you probably live, I know I do. I live out in the country. And so the local law enforcement could be anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour to never, you know, getting here. And I ain't got 45 minutes to an hour to never if somebody kicks in my door and decides they want to hurt my family. I have to do something now. And, of course, I'm going to have to live with whatever choice that I make. If I decide that my life or my family's life is in danger and I have to go to the extreme of taking another life, I'm gonna be, you know, even though the guy broke into my house, I'm going to have to live with that the rest of my life, you know. It's not a choice that I ever want to have to make, but I need that insurance just in case, you know, things do go bad.
Absolutely. I wasn't saying that people shouldn't get insurance. I wasn't saying that. I hope I didn't mislead you.
No.
I was just saying that I think that the proposed, I mean, that the Affordable Health Care Act is not the right way to go.
No, it ain't, because it's too intrusive. It's essentially, you've heard lots of doctors saying that they're going to quit their practice because they can't do it, you know. Yeah. And it's going to come down to a point, and they say there's no such thing as death panels. It's going to come down to a point with every budget, you only have so much money to go around. And so when a certain person comes to get medical attention, maybe their problem's not near as bad. You know how many people are actually on waiting list for transplants in this world?
Sure. Oh, yeah, and that's right. And you see that in all the socialized medical systems in the world, like in Canada or the UK. You have waiting lists to get things like, operations. Waiting lists. Important operations. You have to wait, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever.
And if you got
in this country, if you have a problem, I had a back problem. Okay, I was operated on the day after they saw me, after they saw my MRI, that day. Okay, so I mean, obviously, I was in, you know, I was a serious situation with my back, but I mean, that just goes to show you how efficient this country is in relationship to queued waiting lists for medical procedures. And this is the way it is with any kind of government system. None of it works well. None of it. They're just dysfunctional. I can't think of any government program that works like a well-oiled machine. There's so much bureaucracy, there's so much corruption.
By definition, your back problem outweighs my toothache. So if I got a screaming toothache and you got a serious back problem, you're obviously going to get seen first. Now, if anyone's ever had a screaming toothache, it's like a life or death situation while you got that toothache, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's terrible.
But how about this? Jesus? How about a 75-year-old person discovers that they have a treatable cancer and it's going to require X number of, medication to have this done. So some group of bureaucrats decide, you know what, you're 75 years old, and I'm sorry, but you're going to die soon, so we're not going to give you this medication. It's going to save your life and prolong your life. Sorry, and I hope you have a good time in the remaining time you have. Bye. You know, I mean, these are the kind of decisions that are going to be made by God knows who. And
question, you know, in the chat
do these
room:
people have any kind of moral principles or ethics?
They don't.
Behind the decisions that they make, of course not. Hey, we got somebody in the chat saying something. She says,
"Yeah." He said, "My question is, what can they do? What can they do to me if I refuse not to buy the health insurance?"
I think the one thing that they can do, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, is that any kind of federal income tax that you would get back from, like, let's say after you, what is it called when you get...
When you file your taxes at the end of the year, they fine you.
Like the income tax.
Yeah, they would just basically, like, any kind of money that you normally would get back from the government because they took too much.
Tax return thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the tax return. They would just keep it, And that's how they would fine you.
How do you feel...
There's a way that they could do this. It's all connected, you know.
How do you feel about the IRS as it stands right now?
Personally, it is illegal. It's something that, if you take the time to do the research about what exactly federal income tax is, there's no legal justification for it. In fact, there's no law or statute on the books that forces you to pay income tax, okay?
All right, with that said...
You cannot charge someone... You can't tax someone's labor. In other words, if I work and you pay me a fee for the labor that I've done, that contract, that relationship between you and whatever goods or services that I provided to the person that purchased it or paid me, that's my money. That's quid pro quo, this for that. The government has absolutely no right for any part of the transaction that I'm making privately, okay? Now, here's the thing. The way the wording is to the laws about federal income tax, it's of my own volition. That's of my own choice that I can choose to pay or not. And you can look this stuff up yourself. I really have done a lot of research into this, and it blows your mind. Many people that have worked in the IRS, like agents and stuff like that, have actually discovered this themselves and left the IRS. They were someone put like an ad in a paper, I'll give you $10,000 if you can find the law that says we have to pay federal income tax. And people tried. Agents tried, and they couldn't find it because there is no law. Now, here's the legal justification from what I was told by a very keen legal mind, how they're doing it, if and how they're able to get away with it. If you take a look at the currency in your pocket, you'll see that it's a Federal Reserve note. It's not a U.S. Treasury note. It's a Federal Reserve note. That means that it's their piece of paper. If we had like Secret Service men standing in a room and we were there and we pulled out a $20 bill or a $1 bill, the Federal Reserve note, and we set it on fire, they would arrest us. And why? Because that Federal Reserve note is not our property. It's the Federal Reserve's property. And so the federal income tax is looked upon as a fee for the usage of their currency.
All right. Now, with all that said, and by hook or crook, and knowing all the doggone track record of the IRS prior to this present conversation, now Michael has become Senator of the United States Senate, and he is up there getting ready to vote on whether or not it's okay for the IRS to not only tax us on the Federal Reserve notes that we are essentially borrowing. And so with that said, we're now going to empower the IRS not only with that capability of seizing any assets that are bought and paid for with those Federal Reserve notes, but now we are going to give them access to our own personal health insurance, whether or not we smoke, whether or not we drink, whether or not we drive without our seatbelt. And by all this, we're now going to empower the IRS to do everything necessary to keep tabs on us, even if it requires violating the Fourth Amendment and illegal searches and seizures, even if it requires them to tap our cell phones to see what we're talking about or what we're eating at the local McDonald's and stuff. So, Representative Michael going to vote yay to give them this extra power, or is Michael going to say, hold on a second, let's read the bill?
Yeah, that's right. No, we have to pass it before we read it. We have to pass it to know what's in it, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other crazy thing, is this government has paid for around 2 billion rounds of ammunition, and they have armed to the teeth agencies like the DHS and ATF and you name it. Even Social Security is armed. Imagine.
Yeah, what's the Social Security guys need bullets for?
Hollow point rounds for the Social Security. What the heck does that have to do with Social Security?
You go to get your food stamps.
They've also armed, and there's like their own private little army. Is the IRS. These guys, you want to talk about intimidation and force? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's funny that we should mention this, but your little intro and closing to the Knights of the Round Table and your show that talks about violence is inherent in the system. It is.
Yeah.
And here you have a perfect illustration of what that is when you're arming Social Security and the IRS with a means of violently forcing you to do their bidding and their will. It's ridiculous, yeah.
And so one day if I go to get food stamps because I'm an old guy and I can't work anymore, and I go to get my food stamps, and if I step out of line, are they going to bust a cap in me because of it?
Oh, man. I sure hope not.
it's
crazy, and you see, I'm sure you could go online and you could find all kinds of stuff about these raids where they'll come in and they'll just have guns loaded and pointing, use of deadly force, pointing the guns right at you, and I mean, like you're some kind of criminal.
Yeah.
They're there, just collect whatever they want and leave.
They've raided houses over school loans, for Pete's sake.
There you go. So, I mean, it just goes to show you they do this because they want to make examples out of people, and they want to create stories that terrify people. So, oh God, I'll do anything not to have that happen to me.
Well, everybody's afraid of the IRS.
Machiavellian, it's just they want us to fear them. They want us to be afraid because in that fear, you can be controlled.
If you get in debt with the mafia and you don't pay, they just send Guido over, dragging his
heavy
knuckles and
they send Vinny and Tony over to rearrange your dental work.
Yeah.
To activate your dental plan. There you go.
What I'm hearing about the IRS isn't much different than that. if you don't pay your taxes, then they send Guido over and Tony and...
That's right. They send Zeke over and, you know, they take care of business, you know.
Yeah.
They give you an offer you can't refuse, you know.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Hey, you got two choices. You can either pay me or you can pay me.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, look, man, I am going to take leave of you. I want to thank you ever so much for having me on the Knights of the Round Table. Cult, it's always a pleasure. Shazer's always buddy. A pleasure. You guys take care of yourselves. Have a great week, okay?
Yeah, your show coming up on the hour after...
I think I'm coming up at 12.
Yeah, 12, okay.
Yep. Take your time, Shazer.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right, fellas. God bless. Take care.
Thanks again.
Have a good one, buddy.
So what do you think, Cultus? You just heard two crazy Americans talking about their government being corrupt.
Well, hey, how's that? That was an education.
Well, like I said, brother, you can always trust your government. Just follow the track record. Follow the money. You can see the money's going to a good place.
I tell you all the time, she says, I know I can trust my government. You just got to set the bar at the right height. I trust my government to screw me over. That height, mate, they're guaranteed to come through for me every time.
Yeah, and then you're not disappointed because they did exactly what.
That's it, mate. I know what to expect.
Oh, man. Oh, this has been a fascinating show. We didn't get into something while Michael was there. He was talking about tracking people. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to say it again. We never advocate any kind of violence. We advocate in speaking up and pointing things out when they come around. We advocate being involved and, you know, doing what the veterans did, peacefully protesting, you know, moving the barriers.
Yep.
But, you know, when it all comes down to it, the Second Amendment here in the United States is the last, and that's it, the last line of defense. And
yep.
And if we lose that, then essentially nobody has it, you know. Look around the world. How many nations have a Second Amendment?
That's it.
And once it's gone, it's gone. You know, if you're going to disarm all the people of the world, that's one thing, okay? Are you going to go around and you're going to make sure nobody has a gun? That's one thing. How are you going to accomplish that? That's another thing. You can't do it.
Yeah, you're starting to push it uphill once you want to control everyone.
So, I want to keep my peacemaker in its hidden safe position to where I know that if the things go awry, that I can defend my family. You know, even in my faith, which is Christianity, I never remember in one point at all the time, now outside of the fact that Jesus said turn the other cheek on certain issues, I've never heard it said that we're supposed to lay down and just get walked over, you know?
Yeah.
You got to defend your family. You got to defend truth. You got to defend justice. And if there's people out there in the world that need help, you got to help them. That's all there is to
exactly.
it.
Yep.
But, you know, to give up the only means of insurance, to me, that's beyond stupid. And little things like being tracked. Okay. Back when the Social Security card number was invented, they basically made sure that because there were certain portions of the community who didn't want anything to do with any number being attached to their name because it falls in line with the whole Mark of the Beast thing. And so they set it into law that said that the Social Security number was not to be used for identification purposes. On the old Social Security card, it used to literally say that right on the face of it. It says not to be used for identification purposes. It was just yep. like a bank account number. Well, if you notice, nowadays, it's used for everything to track your driver's license, your criminal history, your banks, everything. Everyone's always trying to get your Social Security number for some reason or not. And a lot of people just hand it over like it's no big deal, you know. Here's my number, you know. But when you do that, you open the door for them to be able to track you anywhere for anything that you do. And that's not freedom, and it never will be. And so, with that said, when they start putting up these cameras all over on every single street corner, you'll notice there's a camera. You go over in Europe or different countries like that, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, you can't go out yep. the door without somebody looking at you. And over here, it's starting to incrementally work its way in. It's all over the cities right now. There's cameras everywhere you go in the cities. And it's all because, oh, supposedly crime has gotten so bad, we've got to keep an eye on things, and we're not going to use these red light cameras to send you tickets in the mail. Yet a year or two after the they said we're not going to use these cameras to put write you tickets in the mail, suddenly tickets started coming in the mail. So they already had the stuff in place to do so. They were just trying to sneak it under the radar. Like all these cameras around, they're sneaking them under the radar. They want to get control. Somebody at the top wants to know what you're doing, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm putting that much effort in just because I was bored one afternoon.
Well, yeah, and you don't buy trillions or billions of rounds of ammunition if you don't think you're going to need it, you know? Because
it's just for target shooting out of the back of a White House, man.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that in case one of them drop bears comes over from from Australia. Can't have one of them things getting you. But so all the armies, all the police, they get the guns. The people are disarmed. Everything's all great. The world's working fine. The government's taking care of all the people. We're doing good.
Yep.
And, suddenly your house gets kicked in and you're there with your bare knuckles against a 300-pound giant with a Uzi. Come on, I can take you. I may be skinny, but I'm scrappy.
Yeah. I may be a scrawny little bloke myself, but there's nothing stopping me from picking up a lump of 42.
Yeah. So, where's the common sense in all of it, man? You know,
is there any?
We've got to keep things like this, the Knights of the Round Table. We got to keep it going, even if it's only a platform for people to shout out their grievances or whatever. Even if it's only a place for people can go to discuss things, it plants the seed for future generations to know that at one point in history we did have the freedom to do what we're doing now. You know. So
we just have to have the guts to stand up and take it all back.
Well, then that's the key, man. And do we do this via violent revolution? No, that ain't going to work because
can't do that,
they've already had years and years to prepare for just such an emergency. Because you know, here's another thing. You know, doomsday preppers prepare for the apocalypse because they see things going on in the world. They think that one day they're going to need supplies and everything. The government prepares for pretty much the same deal in case some sort of mass tragedy happens, that they can keep continuity of government. But yet the average Joe out there just kind of rides along, you know, like it ain't nothing but a thing. But
blind to everything around them.
If everything does go awry, and you've already been disarmed, what are you going to do? You ain't going to do nothing, because when the man kicks in your door and says you didn't pay your taxes, you're going to give him whatever you got of worth. You know, that's the way it is. You know, I want peace and love all over the world, and the only way that we're going to get that is to enlighten people to, you know, thinking outside that box of slavery.
Yeah. No, that's true, man.
How many examples can you think of in Australia alone that things that you can't do? Otherwise, there's fines or jail or
everything, mate. Just about everything, depending on where you are. I remember being a kid. You could pretty much pitch a tent anywhere, grab some firewood, light a fire, and camp.
Yeah.
Now picking up firewood is illegal, mate. You have to camp in specific places.
Yeah. No. Just like
that's that's not freedom in my country, man.
It's ironic you said that.
That's not freedom on our planet. Yeah.
It's ironic you said that, because over here in the States, they have what's known as protest zones and no protest zones.
Yeah.
So you can protest, but you got to go over in this area and do it. And it just so happens.
The area. 500 meter away area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guys that you're protesting against, you're nowhere in sight.
Yeah. Yep, you're around the corner and hidden and who cares?
Yeah, and you can't camp on that really beautiful spot that you found as a kid. You have to camp where the government says, oh, well, this is good, or you can camp over here. Yeah. Really? Where's the freedom in that? You know, I like that that place up by the river. You know, I can fish, I can camp, and beautiful view. You know, it's, you know, if people don't wake up now, the future generations, they're out of luck, man. They will never know. They're being taught not to know.
That's that's it, mate. It's being erased out of the history books as we speak. Like we're talking before about the American Constitution there, you know, being suggested to be amended. Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't need to be amended. It never needed to be amended. It was perfect the way it was.
Yep.
You know, like why are you trying to teach like not you, but why is, you know, the powers that be teaching children that? No, well, I believe one of the rewordings of it was that you are only allowed to bear arms in time of a militia.
Ah! Which every man, woman, and child is part of.
Yeah, so, like, mate.
Any able-bodied man is the militia in the United States.
Exactly right.
And by rights, every country out there, every citizen of every nation should have a copy of the Constitution. You should have the same exact rights
except
as we
for,
got
except
here.
Except for us, because we're in jail, man.
Oh, man. See, that's
we're
terrible.
In jail. We're not even pardoned, mate. My life, you know.
Well, are you loud visitors in jail?
yeah, but they've got to come with a passport and they're only allowed to stay for a certain allotted time and they must leave or they'll be forcibly removed.
Man, I'm gonna get evicted from Australia. I'm gonna get the what do they call them over here? They call it immigration.
The
immigration office is gonna drag me out by my ear. I don't want to leave. It's cool over here. You gotta go out of here, American. Oh man, what a mess. We should be able to go from country to country and visit our family and friends around the world without any papers.
That's right. Now, I don't see the necessity for it. I mean,
we don't need a one world government. We need a one world people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. One world people.
That's all we need. All we need is the people of the world to realize how important each and every individual out there is and the value of each and every individual. I mean, brother, you know, like I said, I've said this a million times, if we lose one soul in the world, it breaks my heart because I know that person, they got thoughts, they got feelings, they got life, they had dreams, they had hopes, they had all the same things that you and I have. And they had families. And so to lose that one individual, that's a great loss to humanity. It may have been the next great scientist, the next great doctor or cook or musician. And those turkeys that always talk about how the planet is overpopulated, they make me sick to my stomach, man. Because
Mother Nature takes care of what Mother Nature needs to take care of.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
If we overpopulate the planet, she'll sort her out.
That's right. You know, the diseases or whatever, you know, nature balances itself out, and it has since the dawn of time. And so with that said, where is the right for any man to say, there's too many people in the world, so somebody's got to go, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'd always turn around and say,
you first.
Hold your hand up then. Hold your hand up then.
Yeah. The guy's preaching it ain't volunteering.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
He's always suggesting it for someone else and see if there's another sucker willing to take the fall so he can live.
Yeah, I'm going to go have...
Screw that. I reckon we push him.
I'm going to go have myself fixed so that I can't have any kids. That way the world won't be more populated. And that, you know, I don't hear any of them saying that. You know, and I bet the Chinese dictators over there, I bet they got more than one or two kids. You know, they got to have somebody to inherit the throne.
Hey.
It's nuts. So, the whole thing about alternative media is to empower the people. You know?
Yep. Give us a voice.
You got to have a voice. Every individual out there, especially here at the Knights of the Round Table, this is your platform. And you can call in anytime you want. You can call in and you can voice your opinions and views, but remember to do it respectful, because we've got people of all nations, of all colors, of all religions. This isn't about, you know, one person trying to convert you to their beliefs. This is about you actually having the opportunity to get up there and shout it out to the world. Like the episode that I did called Shout It From the Mountain. I had a lot of help on that deal, and it was good. And we need to do another one. We need to do another shout. We need to shout from the mountain as many times as we possibly can. We need to have each and every individual out there, those folks who don't think that their voice makes a difference, be heard. A lot of people got good things to say, man. You know?
Yep.
So
sometimes I just need the encouragement.
Yeah, well, we're here to encourage. What do you think?
Ah, I definitely think so. And getting asked where can the people at home there call into, where you can search out Shaziz Man on Skype. What's your Skype name there, Shaziz?
Yeah, it's just straight Shaziz.
Shaziz, and he's the only Shaziz there on the Skype deal. And you can also add me, called us in the Grand.
Yeah, add us as a Skype contact and just call right in and be heard. That's what it's all about. It's your platform, and every Sunday at the same time we do this show, and we offer this same thing to everybody around the world. You know, there's things going on in your world. Now, we ask that everybody's respectful language-wise. We don't want people, because we've got a lot of individuals and possibly children listening, so we want to try to be respectful to everybody and just get our points across, that kind of stuff. What do you think, Cultus?
Yeah. No, that's exactly it, mate. It's an open platform for everyone to have their say, and as you say, in a respectful manner, but we're an open platform for seeking positive solutions and changes in the world, aren't we? So,
and that's the thing. Positive pebbles, positive solutions, ideas out there. Cultist and I, for those new folks that's out there listening, we're both in alternative energy. You want to give them your YouTube channel, Cultist?
I'll do one better at the moment, mate. They can go to cultist.weebly.com, and that's my new website I've been designing, which contains all the links to Shaziz Radio here, the International Alternative Energy Centers Forum, all of our YouTube links. Everything's all contained in that one little tidy page there.
Yep, and for Shaziz, you can just Google up Shaziz, S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z, and you'll find me on YouTube and Twitter and MySpace and here on ShazizRadio.com. And add me as a contact. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I got a lot of friends out there. If you can't get a hold of me, you can get a hold of them, and they can get a hold of me, and we can all get together. And like we had a little deal yesterday. We wrote a bit of code yesterday. What'd you think of that?
Yeah. We did wonderful with the virtual labs. We're still in the midst of piecing together the virtual labs for those of you listening to us out there, and we've got no longer anyone to code for us. The person we had coding for us has gone away with a bit of personal trouble, so we're at the present moment looking for another person who can code. But yeah, we just smashed out some of our own code, and considering I've never coded in my entire life, Shaziz, I honestly know how much experience you've had, Shaziz. And then there was Jonathan there, who, well, very, very basic, he'll admit himself. So,
we
did quite all right.
I've been coding for years, but there's still a lot that I don't know, and a lot of new tricks that come out there, but we were able to put together, and we'll get it on the website pretty soon, a call-in live button where you can actually call the host direct, and essentially what the code does, it'll fire up your Skype and take you right to the room that that you can call to. And so we're trying to make it easy on everybody to be able to call in. And, you know, it worked out pretty well. And there were, once again, three people from three separate points of the globe coding a deal to put a solution on the table so that we could get virtual labs up and running.
Yep. That is all it takes. It takes a little bit from each person, doesn't it? I mean, really, at the end of the day, what did I do? Nothing. At the end of the day, what did you do? Nothing. At the end of the day, what did Jonathan do? Nothing. But together, the three of us wrote code.
Yep. Together, we accomplished something. And we're getting good at it.
Each one of us. Yeah. Well, when you think about it, not one single one of us actually did the whole thing. Like, you know, no one actually completed anything except for as a group.
Yeah, we used the tools that we had access to, which was Google and the internet and one another, and we researched it, and within, I would say, less than 20-30 minutes, we had a code.
Yeah, we started off with a little bit of prefab code, which didn't do exactly what we wanted, and then we just tossed around with ideas, and I think it was you that found the missing semicolon, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then it was all a go.
So we'll get those. We'll make a new page up for those for all the hosts. So if you're one of the hosts and you're out there listening in, we're going to need your Skype name so we can set you up a link and a picture that we can attach to it. So you just click on that person's picture that you want to talk to. It'll take you right directly to their Skype. And then there you go. You add them as a contact, call in live, and you too can be heard.
Yeah.
So, man,
very well.
I tell you what, we've covered a lot of ground.
I think we have, man. And what do you reckon? Do you reckon it's time for a song?
Yeah, let's take a breather. Let me see if I can find a good tune to play. I'm going to throw this one back in because I like it. I'll throw a couple of them up there. But I like this tune right here. It was at the first of the show, but it essentially talks about opening your eyes. So here we go.
Sure.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children.
Gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings, for we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
In constant sorrow all through his day. Trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I find. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my whole new lover. I never expect to see you again. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hey, hey, King Shazam the Turtle.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's old King Shazam the Terrible here with a public service announcement. You can always trust your government. What do you think, cultists?
For sure, mate. You haven't played that little deal for a while either, have you?
No, Congressman Bongwater?
Yeah, Congressman Bongwater.
Yeah.
I've heard that in several months.
Let's find that and fire that up. In the meantime,
sounds like a good idea.
So we don't get dead air.
Putt-putt competition.
Yeah, there you go. You talk about that off
air. Yeah, putt-putt. Hey, I played with my idea during the week, Shazzy's. Now, I've been mucking around my computer all day, so I haven't been able to get any video footage up of it. But I used electricity to create a putt-putt engine.
Oh, cool.
I'm pretty impressed with that. I didn't know whether or not it would work because I checked out the designs of a putt-putt engine. Now, there's two versions. There's the stock standard one where you've got the little square box with the two pipes coming off it. And inside the little square box, you've got a little diaphragm and everything inside. And when I saw that, I said, well, nah, maybe my idea's not going to work. So I kept on searching the web, and along comes, I found a video where a guy is doing the same idea as me, except he started out putt-putt boat size. I've started out with about a quarter-inch pipe, mate, and I'm about a meter of it, so about a yard's worth, a quarter-inch copper tube. I grabbed my garden shovel, and I just wrapped it around there with, like, 10 turns. Bent myself out a nice little shape for me outputs there, and, well, my input and my output, that's a, vacuum suction pump thing going on there, and I basically then just connected up a car battery to either leg of the coil with it full of water, and mate, she spat some water out.
All right,
she spat it out hard.
So you're essentially making one that's using induction heating to...
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And my next step, I actually want to... I'm going to take a trip down the dump during the week. Because I remember you and I can't win this. So anything Shaziz and I do, you boys and girls feel free to take and use on your own builds, because you know you're not really stealing from us. It's not like you're doing us out of anything. But yeah, during the week I'm going to go down and get a microwave oven transformer. And I was actually really hoping I'd see Ryan sometime this week, but he hasn't shown head nor tail in a couple of weeks here, because he's actually got a rewound bot. That's like a two-turn with the large gauge wire on it, like a spot welder type deal made up there. Because when we tested it out here, I've got a 600 amp clamp meter, and it was peaking that out. So yeah, I wanted to get some like half inch copper tube and try it again with the bot, because I think that would it could be quite an interesting.
I can't wait to see that one. That one sounds exciting. Yeah, and for those who don't know what we're talking about, if you go on Shaziz Radio or Shaziz on YouTube, have you put a pop-pop video out yet, Cultus?
No, I'm in the middle of putting my pop-pop video together.
All right, well, just go on YouTube, on Shaziz's YouTube, and look at the pop-pop boat, and I talk a little bit about the contest that we're getting together. And there'll be some neat prizes and stuff like that when it's all said and done. It'll be a lot of fun, and we're even going to try to build a life-size version with somebody out there. So with that said, I found Congressman Bongwater, so let's go into that. I'll play both of them.
All right,
it's Congressman Bongwater here. Elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. Hello, America. This is Congressman Bongwater here. I will say whatever it takes to get elected. I will take bribes, and not only that, I will allow dead folks to vote for me. Because I'm Congressman Bongwater, and I'm running as for President of these United States. Let it be known, America, that I, Congressman Bongwater, couldn't give a rat's ass about the rule of law. I intend on cutting every corner that I can possibly cut in order to fatten my wallet. Why, just the other day I caught my illegal alien maid sweeping dirt under the rug. I gave her a raise. I like the way she thinks. So, this is Congressman Bongwater, and I want your vote for the United States President, 2012. I don't give a crap about your freedom, but I'll tell you I do as long as you cast your vote for me. And as far as taxes, well, you know, I got to raise taxes because I've only got 15 credit cards paid for by the taxpayers, and they're all maxed out. And the other day when I was at the Lobster Shack, I got a door ding in my Mercedes. Of course, you know, that kind of ruined my meal there, so I'm going to need donations from each and every one of you tax-paying citizens out there so that I can get the door ding fixed in my Mercedes and go back and have a good meal. Anyway, this is Congressman Bongwater, and I'm running for United States presidency. So elect me, and I'll tell you like it is. I don't give a crap about you. I just want that taxpayer money to fatten my wallet. So here we go. 2012. Remember, Congressman Bongwater, I'm there for you. Congressman Bongwater here. I'm serious about getting government spending under my control. Under my proposed job plan, I intend on legalizing everything so there's nothing I could be prosecuted for. Why, I'm Congressman Bongwater, and I care about your safety and my wallet. Why? I care so much about your safety as president, I'm going to be at the airport groping every hot babe to ensure her safety as she gets on the airplane and such. So vote for Congressman Bongwater, and you won't have nothing to fear but fear itself. Don't ask for what Congressman Bongwater can do for you. Ask what you can do for Congressman Bongwater, President of these United States, 2012. Why? I'm going to tax the hell out the rich and legalize marijuana so that y'all can have some free marijuana. Just for voting for Congressman Bongwater. Just show up at the voting poll, and that's all you gotta do. I don't give a rat's ass about the rule of law. Vote as many times as you like. Multiple times if need be, just to get Congressman Bongwater elected. And furthermore, and you don't want to vote for that other guy because he wants to steal the old folks' wooden legs and false teeth and kick their walkers out from underneath them. Now, you'd never see Congressman Bongwater doing something such as that unless there was some money involved. Well, and the other guy, well, he's going to steal your Social Security. Yeah, he's... he's been mean to kittens and stuff. And I believe I heard he smacked a baby. Well, this is Congressman Bongwater. Vote for me for President of the United States on 2012, and I'll get the government spending under my control.
Oh, that's just too funny.
Yeah, that's the one.
So,
sad.
Would you vote for Congressman Bongwater?
Well, at least I know that he's going to screw me over.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's
lulling,
honest.
Lulling of a false sense of security going on there, nada, is there, so.
Yeah, he's honest about what he says. He guarantees you he's going to screw you on taxes.
Yeah.
Now, see, if the rest of the...
that's okay. That's okay, though, because he's going to legalize marijuana, so we're all going to be too stoned to work and earn his taxes anyway, so we win.
Everybody will be too happy to care. Oh, wow. What a world we live in. You can't trust dang words of the politician after, that's for sure, because they always say one thing and then they turn around and do another. You know, proof positive, all you got to do is look back through their speech whenever they said, yeah, elect me and I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then go back and look and see what they did, and you'll notice that they have still, to this day, haven't done that.
No, mate, they're never going to do anything for you. That's the bottom line, is they're not there to, they're not there to help you, they're there to help themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, essentially, look at
the ghosts day one.
Look at their income before, and look at their income after. See, you ain't never seen...
We're on the wrong side of tax.
Yeah, you ain't never seen a poor man get elected to president. You have to have money. Yeah. It costs like $1,000 just to get on the list to run for president. And then they have to have you investigated. See, you got to be investigated to the fullest extent. However, this last turkey they got in there that they call president, he wasn't investigated at all. The mainstream media seemingly just give him a pass. Yeah, I mean, everything he did was all right. Guy's made like Teflon, you know, nothing sticks.
Yeah. No, well, that's the backbone he went in on, didn't he? Went in there to be America's first black president. I'm an Australian, so I'll say whatever I like. I'll use that word if I so choose to, thank you very much. And he's America's first black president. Woo! It's like we had our first female prime minister, and all these dumbasses voted her in, and all these dumbasses voted him in for you guys.
Yeah, it's how did that work out for him?
Well, yeah, how'd it work out for you, mate?
Yeah, bad. Real bad.
It didn't do us any bloody good either, I'll tell you right now. Never, ever, never, ever follow the pack.
Well, if America...
common sense.
if America was going to have their first black president, there was a whole lot of good guys out there that would have been a better choice than this particular guy that they got right now.
Yep.
But, you know, that's...
Same with Australia's first female prime minister. There's 100,000 other nice young ladies out there that could have done a million times better job than this bloomin' person did over here.
Well, there you go.
Something really nasty to say that I could say on air, but there's just not that kind of manipulation in my vocabulary, apparently.
Well, it's pretty bad that it comes down to that, but I understand your aggravation, man, because I've seen it firsthand. Unless you're a part of some sort of in crowd, so to speak, upper echelon, wealthy, well-known, you ain't getting into the presidency. You can't even call the president. You know, in the old days, back like during Washington and Lincoln and all those kind of guys, you could just walk up there and you could go in and say hi to the president. Yeah, now you get anywhere near the front lawn of the deal, you're under surveillance. If you step too close to that fence, you got armed gunmen. Yeah. You got armed gunmen and rockets aimed at you, so you can't even get up there. And the president drives around in a limousine built like a Sherman tank on crack. You know, what's that say about society?
Yep, that's it, mate. You know, it's like the old Pope driving around his Pope mobile, isn't it? You know,
he's
behind. Has all the faith in the world, yet he's sitting behind 3 inches of bulletproof glass.
Hey, you hit something I never even thought about. You know,
I don't mean to throw no spanner in no one's religion or anything like that, but that's just one that's always stuck in my head, dude.
But you're right. I mean, if you're a true man of God and you got all the faith in him, then why be behind bulletproof glass?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, come on. God can do anything, I hear. You know, I'm not taking the mickey. God can do anything, I hear. That includes deflecting bullets and all the other miracles that come under that banner. So
Jesus didn't walk around preaching with a Kevlar vest and an AR-15.
Yeah, he didn't see him walking around with a bloody, you know, neck brace and a bloody stool, did ya?
Yeah, so on one hand, you're told you can't have a gun because it's for public safety, but on the other hand, all the elite and their children are protected by what? Guns. It's crazy. It's crazy. The average Joe out there, you know, some people like to call them sheeple. I think that's kind of demeaning to people, but, you know, if you follow...
It is, but it's very descriptive.
Yeah, if you follow around like a sheep, then you're going to get treated like a sheep. If the sheep herder, you don't listen to him, he's going to come over and whop you one and get you back in line. And that's essentially the system in which we find ourselves living under today. You know, do what you're told. Like, I seen a picture out there one day, it's a political picture, and it says, know your place, shut your face. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, man.
So here we are in the year 2013, and we're carrying around really cool technology. We have access to the internet. We have space age technology at our disposal. There's still people starving in the world. There's still wars going on, and yet we as a people haven't been able to figure it out yet. We haven't been able to solve the starvation problem. We haven't been able to solve anything, and our elected officials who are elected to go to represent we the people aren't doing their job, and yet we are still standing idly by and allowing them to do whatever it is they want. They run amok right over us, and whenever
we pay them.
Yeah, we're paying them to run over us.
We pay them to do it, man. Like, you know, I coined the phrase just before. It must take a certain kind of stupid to do that.
Yeah.
But I think that applies to us with this situation as well. It really does take a certain kind of stupid to keep paying such a mean animal, doesn't it? You know,
Well, if you and I went to work one day and we just literally told our boss that we were not going to do our job, that we were just going to sit back and have coffee in the break room and enjoy our day, we'd get fired, you know? However, the governments of the world, they can literally go in there and not do their job for years at a time, and we still keep on paying them, you know?
Well, that's the young lady there that I was referring to a few weeks ago, who works for a particular particular council down in Adelaide, and she must have spent 2 months chatting to me online, morning, day, night, didn't matter. She was always online, always up for a chat. This chick ran a section of council, like a government area of you know, residential properties and commercial properties, and but without name dropping, I don't want to put myself in a position to be sued, but most people know the person who I'm referring to, and they sit on their ass all day and do nothing. Yet they're an elected member of council to represent the people who live in that area, you know, to change the laws and keep the roads upgraded and fight for green energy and do all these things. But what does she do? Like, she mentioned needing to go to a meeting once.
Huh.
In a couple of months.
Well, you know,
they pay for her kids to go to bloody before and after school care and like babysitting, you know, for a half a dozen kids. So that's, you know, quite a bit of cash getting forked out by the government just so that they could actually keep her on the council.
Well, Congressman Bongwater said something that sparked off a thought in my mind. He's talking about how he's going to have to, you know, raise taxes in order to cover up his credit cards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what's going on, you know. Every time that anything happens, they always go to the people for the money, you know. Oh, we need more taxes. You're going to have to pay us some more money so that we can get this done. Anytime there's a starving baby in the world, you know, it's up to we the people to send in our money to feed the starving baby. Wait a second. Mm. What did you do with all the money we've already sent in? What have you done with the tax money thus far? You've sent million-dollar drones over to drop million-dollar bombs on foreign nations. Why didn't you take some of that money instead of going over there causing more havoc around the world, making more homeless people and more death and destruction? Why didn't you take some of that money and go over and feed that starving baby? See, there's the difference in the representation. They're not representing the damn thing that we the people stand for. Otherwise, these problems would have been solved. It don't take no 20 or 30 years to solve.
What do you reckon we start getting some of these mugs on the phone, Shazis?
Well, yeah, we need to. We need to have them on the nights.
I've got the ability to make these phone calls from here.
Well,
We can do a dry Skype recording during office hours.
We need to do
that. Phone calls.
We need to do that. We need to call representatives from all nations and get them on the show. Ask them. Okay, here's your platform, representative. You're on the Knights of the Round Table, and you have the opportunity to tell us that what representation that you've actually been able to accomplish for us.
Yeah.
And I don't mean going up there arguing for a month whether or not to do health care or not do health care. That's not representation. But where's the solution in what you're doing?
Yeah. What have you actually achieved?
Yeah. And I want them to tell me.
You are being held accountable by the people, and we want to know what you've done.
Yeah, I want them to tell me what's cheaper, putting a sandwich in a baby's hand somewhere in a third world country who's starving, or that bomb that they're going to drop on there and create more starving babies. You know?
Yeah, but dropping bombs to make starving babies makes money.
Well, yeah, the military-industrial complexes of the world, they are a multi-billion-dollar business. And you can't sell bullets and guns and ammunition if there ain't no wars. You can't sell medicine if there ain't no sickness. That's the key. And that's what people need to wake up to. They need to wake up to realize, you know, if you send a dollar out to your government, ask where that dollar's going. That's it.
One we should get on the phone one day. We should ring World Vision and ask them where the $35 billion has gone over these last 30 years.
Yeah, what did they accomplish with it?
What have they actually done? I'd actually like, you know, itemization of that, of all that cash.
Well, at least
at least they could have done something cheap enough, and you can go down to your local printing company and get you know, a couple thousand flyers for you know, maybe 30-40 bucks, and then fly over some needy country and send them down some information, some how to's on how to keep warm at night. Survival. I
collect five of these brochures and wrap your body in them.
Yeah.
When hungry, eat pamphlet. Like.
But they haven't even done that. You know. We talk about recycling.
I'm sure there's someone out there jumping up and down, going, "Oh no, no, they do a good job."
Yeah. Well, really?
Yeah, with probably the 4% of your dollar that gets there, probably does get spent there. But by the time they've bought themselves cars and paid for their offices and paid their wages and all the rest of the crap on the way through, your little starving Ethiopian child over in Africa is getting absolutely stuff all of that money.
Oh,
you know? I don't know if it's the same in America, but here in Australia, like, they pump those ads on the TV all the time. All right?
And they say at least
those ads are free, dude. Those ads are free, so they're not paying for them.
And they always say at least 60-80% of your dollar goes to helping the poor. Well, where does the rest of it go? It goes to advertisement and travel expenses and this and that. Supposedly.
You got it. Yeah.
But
it's not the travel expenses of the food getting sent to the child in Ethiopia. It's, you know.
And then you hear about how whenever they send supplies over to the needy, that all these pirates end up stealing it before it ever gets there.
Of course they do, yeah.
So take that army that you've got, that we've paid for, walk it in. Take it in personally, walk it in, and make sure that nobody gets it but the people that it was intended for.
I'm sure we've got some spare troops in, like, Afghanistan or Iraq or something, haven't we? We can pull out and send them on a worthwhile mission.
Yeah, they're probably sitting around playing checkers right now and waiting for the next thing to happen, you know? You would be under the impression right now by watching the mainstream media that all hell is breaking loose in every direction, but if you've ever actually been on a military base and you've seen how many people are just walking around and doing their normal thing, you would realize that there's a lot of free time on a lot of the military's hands, you know?
This is true.
I love the military. I love the fact that they're supposedly fighting for freedom, but a lot of them are under false illusions because there's a lot of things going on in the world that they shouldn't agree with, you know? Their oath of office, by definition, says that they're not supposed to follow any illegal orders, and illegal orders, you know, from top to bottom, means that you don't do something that's either A, against the Constitution, B, against the human rights or whatever, but it happens. You know, we hear the stories.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon occurrence, unfortunately.
Well, it's sad. I mean, we got a great opportunity here. We got an amazing opportunity. We've been given vast resources. We've been given a gift of epic proportions. And here we are sitting in the computer age where we have the capability of crossing international boundaries with our voice and our information. And we are actually making a difference. What we're doing isn't gone for nothing. What we need to know is that we need to keep it going. Because if, like I said, you know, we all hear about the kill switch on the internet. They shut the internet down. What do we do then? Well, we're pretty much screwed. But we'll fire it back up, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
There's already a guerrilla internet, like a guerrilla wireless internet trend sort of starting up, isn't there? Over in Spain, they've pretty much got it covered. I've personally got a mate up in Brisbane who's pushing or advocating to all his friends and that about wireless technology and trying to sort of bring it to the forefront of his friends' attentions, you know. And yeah, I think we're going to see a real emergence of personal wireless in internet's coming up very shortly, like in the next 12 months. You're going to see a big step up in it.
Well, that's what we need. We need a people's internet that they don't have control of, and they can't shut down. And yeah. The time to do.
Well, they can't shut the internet down. They can shut your ISP down, can't they?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So they can never shut down the internet. They can only shut down your phone line. So if we've got a way around that, they can never shut down the internet.
Yep. And the time to do That's the research on that is now, as
now
opposed to...
is right the second. Yeah, it's like, go and Google this shit right now. Start learning it. Like, it's so damn important that we start to understand how to set this stuff up ourselves, because you're not going to be able to jump on Facebook and get your buddy up in Brisbane to come give you a hand. That's just not going to be an option.
Nope.
You know, that's going to be long gone. Your computer's just going to do nothing.
It all sounds like conspiracy, you know, but it just, that word in itself drives me insane, conspiracy theory, you know, that people think
you're only paranoid if they're not out to get you, Shazis.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look back through history, there's been conspiracy after conspiracy. I mean, Kennedy got shot, there's so many people that got whacked in because they were trying to speak out. It wasn't even remotely funny. And somebody conspired. It wasn't just one guy did it. You know? You know, look at the conspiracy theory. One guy pulled off an amazing, what would have been a shot of epic proportions from a book suppository up at the deal, and had a magic bullet that kind of did U-turns and such. You know? Really?
Yeah,
and there ain't no conspiracies. In your local circle, you know, you're gonna put a birthday party, a surprise birthday party on there. There's people gonna conspire to put the birthday party on. So, you know, conspiracies are a daily thing. You know, but talk about them. Oh wow, get the tinfoil out. He's nuts.
It's aluminum.
Yeah, aluminum foil.
tin's too expensive. We couldn't afford those hats.
Yeah, it's just nuts, man. I tell you, you know, common sense. Like I said, it went out the day the brass knuckles and the pogo stick was invented.
Yeah, I think so, mate.
You know, all the toys back in the old days, what were they thinking? You know, monkey bars are probably one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen. But you gotta let people fall in order to figure out that it's not a good idea to do what it is that they're doing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, we never died from any of that stuff.
No, we didn't. We did okay. We're still around. We got a few bumps, but, you know.
Worst you ever got was a penny bunner in the back pocket or something.
Oh.
I mean, little firecrackers, you know.
I just, you know, we're going to be doing this pop boat contest. We're going to be doing a whole lot of alternative energy stuff. So stay tuned to Cultus's YouTube and my YouTube. And don't just listen to things that we're saying. Go out and do research. We want you to not believe anything we're saying. We want you to do your own research and get on there, share links. You know, just by showing up in the Knights of the Round Table, you become an honorary knight of the Round Table, and you can benefit everyone out around you by throwing links in there, pertinent links, or just something as simple as a smiley face, you know, putting information out there to make the world a better place, and to borrow one of your terms, at the end of the day, that's what's most important, ain't it?
That it is, mate. Very true.
I got the perfect song for when we head up out of here. I'm going to play. Maybe I better go ahead and do that now, because it's like 4 minutes and 59 seconds. You like Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster?
Yes.
Well, the reason why I want to play this song is because essentially what humanity is doing is that. We're traveling down the road and we're flirting with disaster, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is it.
As long as you...
Very true.
Put your hopes in representatives of the world without holding their feet to the fire and keeping them keeping an eye on them. You know, Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, and if you don't keep that, you know, eyeball out there, they do whatever they want. So with that said, you got any last words there for the people before we fire up out of here?
Just everyone have a good week and stay out of trouble. Oh, and go check out the new website. So that's cultus.weebly.com, and there you'll find links to everything. whether it be Shaziz, the forums, my work, Kent's work, it's all there. It's all in one little nice, neat little package. Go over there, head out, check out the new page, and yeah, you all have a good week.
And keep the networks growing. If you got a network out there and you want to be part of what we're doing, we got Awake Radio, We Roar Radio, No Borders Radio, Shaziz Radio, and many others that are restreaming at the same time. And so if you want your message to be heard, get us some links and we'll put it all together. We'll keep on growing this alternative media network, and power to the people, peace and love, and all that kind of stuff. And so with that said, I'm going to play this song right here, Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. And it's just kind of a something to think about. That's exactly what we're doing right now by allowing all these governments of the world to keep running amok. We're flirting with disaster. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
man. Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we've given rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible, and the knights of the round table.